I'm Adam Spencer, and in this episode of Telstra Behind the Mic, we discuss the A word, automation. Now, enabling automation requires a host of technologies, people, and processes to come together. But this is all much easier said than done. Businesses can't afford to throw large and expensive technologies at their challenges and just hope that something sticks. The accepted maxim is to partner with experts who can understand your industry challenges and the drivers of those challenges is how you pay dividends. Well, Alliance Automation have helped organisations for years now realise the benefits of industrial automation by taking a consultative approach, by deeply understanding the objectives of their customers, and by developing solutions that will help support business growth. They've recently been acquired by Telstra. So I'm going to sit down with Matt Griffiths from Alliance Automation to discuss the A word. We're talking today about all things automation, the shifts in industry that are pushing the need for greater efficiencies, and how Telstra's latest acquisitions can help you take advantage of new automation initiatives. Matt, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
You're a director at Alliance Automation. So let's start right at the beginning. What is Alliance Automation?
We are a specialist industrial automation firm that specializes in electrical engineering, control systems, cybersecurity for operational technology, electrical contracting, full end-to-end industrial 4.0 solutions that deliver to industrial customers across Australia.
What are the market forces at play at the moment that means something like Alliance Automation is relevant now, can bring value to business?
I think as technology has sort of moved a big gravity shift in the last 3-4 years, we're starting to see IT and OT become closer connected and requires us to, it requires a higher level of engineering and solutions to provide, I guess, solutions for customers and their issues, but also everyone's got a need for more data to become more productive.
Yeah, what is it about? What is Alliance Automation's motivation when it comes to helping customers?
It's about them being more cost effective, being safer, and also providing them, I guess, the best solutions for their issues that they have, whether it's a plant, a process plant, or whether it's a network, or whether it's an OT system that they use for operational monitoring or performance, we're there to help.
And a very exciting time for Alliance Automation being acquired by Telstra. What was your decision making around that, and what does that mean for customers?
I think for me, the biggest thing was a couple of things was to maintain currency today with technology. You know, and Telstra being like bleeding edge in what they do, I think that helps us maintain our currency in our technological field, which has been fantastic, but also being parochial. You know, I wanted the business to stay in Australia. I'm a proud Australian. I think together it really helps us really build out manufacturing here in Australia and bringing some of that back home. You know, we've had a lot of great advanced technology here in Australia that we've lost, and it allows us, you know, to really push forward, you know, and help customers become more advanced, to be more productive, to be more competitive.
So when Telstra came walking across the dance floor and put out their hand and said, "Would you like to dance?" and you stared into Telstra's, you know, deep blue eyes or purple eyes. I might purple eyes sound a little bit freaky, but you stared into Telstra's eyes. Why did you choose Telstra?
Look, to be honest, to start with, it was nerve-wracking in that I didn't know whether it was the right fit or not because of what, you know, I guess of Telstra is a big beast. But the best thing for me was it was very, very easily seen because their strategy was 2 slides, not 20 slides. And it was very specific to providing that industrial 4.0 footprint for us to do our best work, to be honest.
Let's drill down into the sort of best work you guys can possibly do, because our current environment, there's a lot of challenges for business. Inflation, labor shortages, the last couple of years in particular have shown us how supply chain fragility can disrupt all sorts of industries. Dominoes just start falling in directions you might never have thought. Where does automation fit when we're trying to deal with these sort of very real modern-day business challenges?
Well, you know, and we see it all the time. So, you know, I feel like that the heritage here in Australia, especially around manufacturing and heavy manufacturing, you know, really, you know, 30 years ago was at the forefront, and then it missed a technology gap. And now we're trying to rebuild, you know, I guess manufacturing facilities, process facilities to bring them up to new age technology to provide, you know, better safety, more data, better performance through analytics and prediction, you know, all those new advancements that we're seeing through AI help them make them more competitive, either from a commodity perspective or from a supply chain perspective. And that's what they need. So that obsolescence factor is very real issue here in Australia with a lot of its aging assets, especially around manufacturing. And I think that's what, you know, for us, Alliance Automation is to try and make that change.
Let's walk through some of the various categories those challenges fall into. When it comes to economic challenges, I presume it's that efficiency piece that you're talking about that can really help there?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, downtime analysis, predictive maintenance, all of those smarts that require data, but you need foundational support from the electrical infrastructure, its instrumentation, its control systems before we can actually get to that point. So, but that is the foundations for efficiency and providing that more economical ability for these guys to operate efficiently.
What about on the front line of labor challenges? How does automation work there for an organization?
Well, look, you know, and this is a tricky conversation because, yeah, definitely automation can take people out of the workforce, but it's about repurposing those people. So giving them the skill sets to be able to operate better technology in a different way, providing insights into the data that they're getting because they've been on the plant floor or shop floor for the last 20 years. So that's a big part of the Industry 4.0 change is really re-educating and repurposing those guys. So we're not about people losing their jobs. It's getting their input into the efficiency, making the plant run better or smarter, faster, harder, more efficient.
Am I right to think that when it comes to like upgrading automation, there's that permanent challenge with skill gaps and retraining or hiring new people with new skill sets, etc.? If you're upgrading automation and people are on top of that step, I presume there's an efficiency there that really helps organisations deal with labour challenges.
100%, but at the end of the day, it's about the investment in training, you know, training and upskilling, you know, because, you know, I guess a lot of the universities, you know, are starting to bring in, I suppose, that technology into their degrees. However, it's always one sort of step behind. I suppose it's about training for purpose, and that's a big part of them upskilling. But I guess the automation piece allows us to train people at a faster rate, at a larger workforce, you know, that can then operate this stuff remotely, you know, or from home or work from home. So it inbuilds, especially a lot of the challenges we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years about, you know, about that workforce piece.
What about resiliency? How does automation help resiliency within an organisation?
Well, obviously, it can provide the level of redundancy that's required for plants to remain operational. So, you know, where you don't have to worry about people going home sick or the flu going through the manufacturing facility. However, it can also offer a level of resilience to data and its resilience to, you know, cybersecurity threats. You know, it gives it the ability to monitor, to provide more resilience as well through the data that it provides to the organisations.
See, I think automation is one of these things that a lot of people listening to this podcast would in principle go, like, I can see how it makes sense.
Yep.
But this is a big commitment you're asking me to make here. This is different to saying, okay, we're going to move from Salesforce to a different CRM, or we're going to change from Microsoft computers to Apple in our organization or whatever. How do people know they're ready for automation when it can sometimes seem like a big, scary commitment, and it might just be best to stay with the known, the business as usual, the way we've always done things?
Good question. I think that for organisations that are putting people out there, say, in a workforce that requires a level of safety and a level of monitoring, that we need to put more, like you said before, resilience around, I think that's the sort of first point of call for people, organisations to start definitely looking at it. Because at the end of the day, if they're not really, you know, they're worried about the type of data that they're getting back in from their operators, and they're feeling like that they're putting people in unsafe working arrangements, you know, that definitely helps fit, you know, automation helps that process.
Does it help the organization that's considering it also think, okay, we're not going to go from day zero, no automation, day one, we've entirely automated every single aspect of our operations. Is there an argument to start with something small, to find something where maybe it will work, try it there and see if there are real benefits?
Oh, look, definitely. Yeah, there is. You know, look, you can start small, you can start large, but I guess it's about understanding what your return on investment, but it's not just monetizing, you know, what your production increases are going to be versus your operational costs. You know, it's, you've got to work out what the return on investment is on, you know, safety standards and, you know, I guess providing, you know, more, better data, reliable data to whether it's consumer or to other organisations. At the end of the day, it's how do you monetize that? So, but for me, you know, you can start small, absolutely.
You spoke in our introductory piece around how the rapid digital transformation and IT revolution impacts this area. It is a major challenge, isn't it? This convergence of IT with, you know, operational technology, OT. How do you see this convergence impacting industries, and what can businesses do to facilitate that change?
I think it's kind of funny, you know, there's definitely a convergence and there's a big push for that IT-OT convergence, you know, but we've got to remember that it was only sort of 20 years ago that our electrification actually converged, and that's how automation started, really. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're all electrical contractors at heart that got smart and became finger tappers, you know, and just found better ways of doing it, right? At the end of the day, you know, I believe that's what's happened with operational technology as well. You know, we've started to see the vendors and the products take on IT traits to allow convergence, and then we've started to see then IT processes come in as well. So we're seeing a lot of projects be changed, the way that they run, the way that they're delivered, the software, the generation of what our engineers look like has changed remarkably. We didn't see a change in industry for 20 years. In the last 5 years, we've seen ginormous, you know, I guess, leaps forward with that technology that we're dealing with all the time.
Because your OT systems, they can be legacy, they can be large, expensive to purchase, own and operate. And if they don't evolve quickly, then there's a real challenge there for organizations. Does the convergence of those two allow that speedier evolution?
It does, yeah. Look, 100%. The earlier you converge with your IT systems and you get those processes in place and adopt those techniques, I suppose, and technologies, it allows the obsolescence piece to follow. You know, if you start the other way and you want to replace your obsolescence before you start your convergence, you could be 5-10 years down the track, you know. And the thing is, our technology changes so fast that you can't adopt the new. You know, it's like now all of a sudden you're not buying a disc with the new version of Windows on it or Office, right? Like it's a download online. Our industry is moving towards that as well. We're going to see that be adopted, and having to patch our control systems and how do we manage that? Like that's going to be a thing of the future. And it's, You can't adopt that with legacy stuff that's 35 years old. There's some very good smart control system stuff that's 30, 35 years old. It just doesn't, it wasn't thought of some of the new IT advancements that we're starting to see come through now.
We'll get to a couple of real examples in a couple of seconds. Just before we do, this convergence piece does elevate security as a concern, doesn't it?
Correct. Yeah, 100%. So with the good comes the bad. You know, I suppose, though, at the end of the day, you know, the way that it was handled was via an air gap. You know, there was no possible way that you would get any outside influence. But a lot of our cyber threats come from the inside as well. And without that air gap, you've got, with that air gap, you've got no monitoring. You've got no management of the risk or the associated, you know, issue. So by allowing you to converge gives you the tools necessary and the management necessary to monitor, prevent, you know, protect your OT infrastructure.
Okay, Matt. So give me some real world examples of where you've seen customer benefits, customer success. Yep. That shows the benefit of this sort of technology in your work at Alliance Automation.
Oh, look, there's so many. Oh, I mean, that's what we play with. Look, we've probably one significant one was handling facility that was manually handling highly contaminous materials and in a very manual way, so much so that they couldn't control the quality of the product and the way that it was being transported. So we developed a automation solution, which also included a manual handling robot to actually manually handle the substance, be able to then quantify the volume and the quality of the product, but then also to store and manage that in a quality way that they could then, we could then also protect the product as it traveled to the end supplier. And that,
so you're not just protecting there the individuals working in that organisation.
It's the product as well.
And the broader community in and around where
100%.
A leak could occur or storage issues might be relevant.
And the commodity itself. So it's not being downgraded because it had a contamination issue either. So we're able to control the quality of safety of the product and the delivery of the product and everyone around it through automation and good design practices. And that's what I mean. Automation isn't just, it's electrification, it's mechanical, it's, you know, software, it's IT, you know, it's ERP, the whole lot.
Some of the examples you hear that are taking place in the resource industry of those massive trucks effectively being driven by someone sitting in an office hundreds of kilometres away, the interaction of giant rail networks that are now fully automated and smart trucks queuing up behind each other, waiting to access facilities and things like that. Quite mind-blowing if 10 years ago you'd even thought about that sort of technology.
Yeah, well, look, and not only that, I think too, what that then allows these organisations to do with the new, you know, 2030 carbon shift as well, you know, because now we can electrify those vehicles as well, right? And then it brings in a whole level of different types of control and management of how they use those fleets across the whole organisation or the whole operation is also mind-blowing as well. So we haven't seen the full efficiencies yet. All we're seeing is them being able to operate these remotes so they've got, they don't have to have guys sitting in trucks. But the electrification piece is massive. You know, and what we can do now that we've got that being autonomous, you know, that's a big piece as well.
Okay, so in wrapping this up, Matt, what can listeners do right now to understand how they can start automation within their businesses?
Look, I think the best way is to understand so what the pain points are within the business. Every business has a pain point, and is there a way that by building in some automation that you can either eliminate the pain point or help the pain point. Yeah, if there is, you know, it's about understanding what technology is available, right, to help that, you know, whether it's small or large. And I suppose it's no different to what Telstra provide the whole of Australia through its communications environment. So for us, we're no different. We, you know, nothing's too small or too large, but if there is a pain point that we can bring technology in to help that operational pain point, well, then that's where we start.
Well, Matt Griffiths from Alliance Automation, thanks for taking us inside the fascinating world of automation in 2023 and beyond on Telstra Behind the Mic.
Thank you. Thanks, Adam. Cheers.